welcome back to another episode of the Fearless Training Raw Knowledge Podcast with your host, as ever, myself, Alex Connor. And today we're going to be unpacking micronutrients. So in this series, we've been talking about the hierarchy of nutrition. So if you've not already listened to any of these episodes, I highly recommend going back to the start and listening to them in sequential order, just because they are in order of importance and they'll make more sense, and then you can add on as you go. So we started with adherence, which was episode one, behavior and lifestyle. So environmental things, cultural things based on your skill set, your environment, your background, your habits, your behaviors. And then obviously giving you some real world applications. So if you are tuning into this episode and you've not listened to the others, this is all about giving you key takeaways that you can apply right now to devastating effect. It's factual, it's simple, and at the end of the day, it will work for you. And then we moved on to energy balance. So figuring out how many calories should I eat a day? You know, how many calories should you eat a day? How should you consume them? And then we moved on to macronutrients. So nutrients that are large. So the protein, the fat and the carbs. And again, we talked about how much protein, fat and carbs should we consume a day. And I've given you some calculations, some place to start so you can apply it and you can get started. And then today we're going to be talking about micronutrients. So micronutrients, breaking it down, micro meaning small, nutrients once again relating to now, this time vitamins, minerals, electrolytes, and we're going to cover fiber as well. Now I talked a little bit about fiber on the last episode, but I just want to address it again really quickly and talk about some of the parameters around that. And then again, we'll go through some basic takeaways, some considerations, things that you can do to ensure you're getting your vitamins and minerals and electrolytes, and honestly, just keeping it really, really simple. And then we'll wrap it up. You can go ahead, put that into practice, and then we'll move on to the next levels of the hierarchical nutrition pyramid. So fiber, let's start with that. So we've got two main variants of fiber. So one, and again, I've got some notes here, one being insoluble. So that is the fiber that helps pass through, keeps you regular for toilet time. And then you've got soluble fiber. Now soluble, again, it's soluble, so it's going to be more absorbed by the body. Insoluble isn't, hence why it pushes things through. And the soluble, you know, that's going to be related to inner health, your cholesterol levels, and making sure that you have a healthy microbiome, etc. It's more roles, but that's just a bit of a synopsis. So, you know, how much fiber should we have? Well, it is individual, but as a rule of thumb, once again, for every 1,000 calories that you consume, good place to start is 10 to 15 grams of fiber alongside of that. So for example, if you're an individual on 2000 calories a day, you could or should be having anywhere in the realms of 20 grams of fiber, all the way up to say maybe 30, 35 grams at that very higher end, right? So again, you can go a little bit under and over. This is just a general guideline. I'd probably stick to that 20 to 30 mark, to be honest. But also, if you have a history of gut intolerances, or for example, you have digestion issues, or you find that a lot of fiber or a little fiber really starts to upset your stomach, this is something to experiment with. And this is why I'm going to take a quick segue. A lot of people, especially women, just being a little bit more complex, have a lot of gut issues. A lot of the time it's a simple fix, some of the time it isn't. And I've worked with a lot of individuals and have referred out to a lot of professionals who work in that space, because I'm not a gut expert. But what I can tell you with listening, learning, and working with some people in that field is that a lot of the time it's misdiagnosed and it's overcomplicated, right? And a lot of the time it can be fixed by just having a little bit more awareness, so what we've already been talking about in this podcast, and really tracking your food and experimenting with it. So before you go to someone and pay thousands of dollars and put all of these foreign things in your body that you don't know what they are and you actually end up worse, perhaps start with some basics. So one of the things we want to consider is FODMAPs. So FODMAP is a fancy acronym. You may have heard it, like a FODMAP diet, and it stands for fermented oligosaccharides, polysaccharides, monosaccharides, polyols. In summary, these are short-chain carbohydrates that generally don't digest well in the gut. They're found in vegetables, they're found in fruits, and they're found in things like chewing gum and a lot of products that have artificial sweeteners. Now, a lot of people are using these as fillers to try and satiate or trying to curb a craving. And oftentimes they can be doing more harm than good. So you've probably seen the like zero calorie noodles, or again, you're seeing these like, you know, low calorie chocolates and things like that in a packet. And you think, well, hang on, where, like, how is that possible? Because surely it's got to have some calories in it, right? And it does. It contains a very small amount. But the way they get around this is by using some of these short chain carbohydrate ingredients. Now, some of these ingredients can give you explosive diarrhea along with, you know, a really, really upset stomach. But a lot of the time we're not aware of it, and people keep doing it because they're getting a fix from it, or again, it's curbing their cravings because they don't actually want to eat more whole foods, or they don't want to eat something which is more calorie dense, which is often better controlled in a quantity if a calorie deficit is the goal, which it usually is, hence the restriction and going to this option. But removing those foods can often clear up a lot of these inflammations in the gut. Now, something else to consider as well, because I mentioned fruits and vegetables, certain fruits and vegetables, and again, if you do a quick Google search, there are lots of lists. So what you could do is, depending on what you're eating, you could pull it back, remove a lot of foods, start with some really boring, basic, bland foods, which have a low residue, low inflammation, low inflammatory diet, if you will. And again, you can Google this, generally whole foods, but again, select whole foods from the earth. And then you can start with that, see how you go, and then add in ingredients slowly, and you can see how you individually react to them. Now, yes, this takes effort, but a lot of the time, it's better than paying thousands and thousands of dollars, unless you're in a really bad state of affairs, and even then, these things can help by doing it yourself and actually not getting a result. So start with the basics, and then you can go and see a good practitioner, and if anyone does have any gut issues, please reach out, because I have some great contacts, real professionals that are very good at what they do that we can refer out to that will actually look after you rather than just pumping you full of drugs and these sort of homeopathic remedies that don't work, or doing something very extreme. So again, it's sort of like the elimination diet. You go back to something really, really simple that you know works for your body, and then you slowly introduce foods and you keep a track of what foods work well for you and what don't. And you might find that certain foods are good, but in certain quantities, they don't quite work. But then you've also got to look at what's within those foods. So instead of demonizing a food and going, hey, this food is just bad. No, it might not be the food that's bad. It might not agree with you specifically, but it could also be something, an ingredient within the food. And this is where you're going to start to become your own scientist. And unfortunately, this is the way it's got to be in today's, you know, day and age, because there's so many things and there's so many variables that you have to take matters into your own hands, and you have to start experimenting and listening and learning to your own body. Again, just like tracking, it takes effort. But if you have a lot of ongoing issues, it's not worth it to go through them, especially if you've got things like colitis, you're on the toilet all the time and you're in pain. A lot of the time, there are actually some nutritional remedies by removing, adding, and trialing foods that can really help. So that is something that you really want to keep in mind. And again, you can do some quick Google searches on this to find the foods that you may want to start or remove or trial. Be your own scientist. Also, sugar alcohols, you know, as good as they can be in certain foods, so things like your Monster energy drinks, etc., a lot of the time people will have no issue with them, but it can be at a certain quantity, so I wouldn't abuse them. And that's why I'm going to talk about the 80-20 rule a little bit later on, and then depending on how you go with that, that's where you might have a little bit more or less flexibility. So moving on to the next point is, how are we going to get our vitamins and minerals in? Well, a lot of the time, again, it's going to be from whole foods. So the foods we've already talked about and the macronutrients. So if you're eating a lot of lean meats, oily fishes, you're getting a good range of carbohydrates, so starchy carbohydrates. You're going to have vegetables in there as well. And then good fats. That's going to take care of a lot of it. But to bridge the gap, we want to look at fruits and vegetables specifically. And again, ones that agree with us, especially if we're aware of ones that don't. And we don't want to abuse this, because if we have too much fiber, it can cause just as much trouble as if we have not enough fiber. So again, we don't want to go too high or too low, and this is where you've got to experiment with it. But as a general rule of thumb, 3 to 5 servings of fruit and or vegetables a day. Keyword there was and or. So you don't have to have 3 to 5 servings of fruit and vegetables. That'd be a bit over the top. And again, it can cause a little bit of gut distress, or if anyone has ever had too much fruit, you'll know what I'm talking about. Toilet time can be a little bit loose, shall we say. So just keep an eye on that. Don't go from 0 to 100. So if we're looking again as a real example, say we've got our three main meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and perhaps we have two sliding snacks. It's a pretty popular food combination or meal frequency for the day. So in our breakfast, we might have a berry. Okay, so we could have blueberries, raspberries, we might have mixed berries, whatever it is, whatever you like. You might have some mango, banana, you might have it in a smoothie, you might have it on the side, you might have it in your porridge, your oats, whatever it is, right? That is a really easy way to pop it in your breakfast. And then we might move to lunchtime, and we might be having, again, you know, something more savory, probably a meat dish. So we might have, say, a chicken salad wrap, and we've got a variety of green lettuce in there. We might even have some tomatoes in there, again, depending on what works for you. You might have some other greens, etc. You could even have some sweet potato, some butternut squash. The options are limitless. And again, you might have a snack in the afternoon. So you could have an apple, handful of almonds, some cottage cheese. You might have a banana before training. You might have a banana on some rice cakes with honey. So again, there's another one. And then dinner time, you might have some more traditional vegetables. So you might go with some green beans, some cauliflower, some carrots, some broccoli. And again, I'm just listing these off. It doesn't have to be all, it can be some. And again, think about the serving size. Honey has to be small, so you can think about the palm of your hand in total. You can have a little bit more if you're a bigger individual, and again, a little bit less if you're a smaller individual, just like we talked about with the macronutrients or the calories in general, and experiment. So really, if we think about it, if we plan ahead and we're tracking our food, it is quite simple to really bridge the gap. Now, if we do that, 9 times out of 10, we're not going to be deficient in things unless we have specific dietary requirements that cut out certain foods that we don't get to eat, which contain certain nutrients. And this is where supplements might come in handy. Now, supplements is a topic for later on in this conversation in regards to the hierarchy. So next we're going to talk about, in the next episode, meal timing, and then we're going to talk about supplements. But just a quick note on it, again, supplements are there to bridge the gap that are not met by food. So any gaps that are not met by physical food that we can eat, that's where a supplement can come in handy. And then we can talk about, again, how to find a good supplement. So again, if you're not able to eat certain types of food and you might be, say, lacking in B vitamins or vitamin C, you could supplement with that to bridge that gap. And that way you can still eat the foods you want to eat that agree with your body, but you're not missing out on any vital nutrients. A good metaphor and analogy for vitamins and minerals is kind of like cement to bricks. If macronutrients are the bricks, they comprise most of the wall and the main element of the diet and the nutrition, the cement is what holds them together. It's the smaller component, but arguably just as important as the bricks to form a strong wall, because it keeps everything together. Again, this is just a metaphor, but it gives you a visual analogy. And this is key. Now, electrolytes we lose, and minerals as well, through our sweat. So if you're in a climate like Australia where it's hot and you're sweating a lot, or again, you're an athlete where your sporting demands are really high, this is where you need to get those electrolytes back in again and probably need to fuel accordingly. And you can use things like electrolyte drinks. So you might use like Powerade, Gatorade. You can use things like Element drinks as well, which have magnesium, potassium. These are things that, again, they're a bit more specific, but if you are sweating a lot, these can just help replace those valuable nutrients, micronutrients that you're losing through that time. So things to consider. I've already mentioned water intake. This is going to be variable. So again, if you're just drinking the water, but you might not have the electrolytes and you're losing a lot of sweat, that's where, again, you might sort of be missing that link. So putting some electrolytes in your water helps you drink them. You know, it tastes good and also replenishes what you're losing from sweat. Be going around for 3 liters of water a day is a general recommendation, but again, it is very specific to your daily needs, your energy output as an individual, as an athlete, and again, climate, you know, daily activity, there's a lot. But most of you are probably not drinking enough water. It's a really, really simple fix. Don't go over the top. Okay, you can go once again to 0-100, but just be aware of it and have water, good water, readily available, because it will help. It helps with everything, especially performance. Now, the last thing I wanted to mention was the 80-20 rule. So the 80-20 rule predicates, as we've already mentioned, 80% of your food and nutrients coming from whole foods, foods that your grandmother would recognize, not packaged foods, foods from the earth. And then 20% again, maybe processed or more of the fun man-made foods, your chocolates, your ice creams, your cakes, things like that. Things that you generally crave or that you go out and have a treat as. And again, you could skew that slightly one way or the other. It is up to you. There's no extra points for just eating all whole foods, right? Once your body has the nutrients it needs, it derives, you don't get any extra points, you know, because the body can only absorb so much at a certain window or point in time. So that way, you know, we can draw a conclusion, not a conclusion, I'll draw an example for where you can have someone who eats like really healthy all the time, their whole life, they don't smoke, they don't do anything, and they can get a chronic illness. And then you can get Joe Bloggs down the road who's drinking Monsters every day, smoking his heart out, and you know, he doesn't have a health issue at all, and that's usually genetic. Now down the track, if you abuse things, you probably will, but that was a very extreme example. But someone who's got a more balanced approach to nutrition and is still inclusive of things they enjoy, i.e. going out and eating these more hedonic higher calorie foods, is going to be usually better off, because they're not going to crave anything. They may get some nutrients from those foods that you're not getting, and they're not restricting themselves over time. And if we have a high output, you know, as you probably do watching this, having an interest in training and nutrition and building muscle, you know, a lot of these calories are going to be, you know, going towards just fuel as well, not just to fuel the bodily functions and health. That's what the, you know, the main component of the diet is for, to feed all of the basic, you know, bodily needs and functions, which we've talked about. And then again, a lot of that portion can come from fuel if you're burning a lot of calories. And aside from that, I think the key thing to look at here as well is immunity. That seems to be a key topic, speaking, you know, alongside COVID. Everyone's talking about, you know, got to be immune, you got to boost your immune system. Well, you can't really boost your immune system per se. You can maintain and keep it at a high level by, again, doing these basics, but you know, you don't get any extra points from topping up in nutrients that you've already got available or in plentiful sources. So I think that's where you got to be careful of marketing and scams, because people go, oh, you know, you got to take this, and you end up taking all these supplements and spending all this money, and you know, is it placebo or nocebo, i.e. you know, are you actually noticing a difference, or is it because you feel like you're taking this pill you are? And we'll sort of unpack that a little bit more on supplements, in terms of, you know, are you getting what it says on the packet? You know, is it bioavailable? Is the body able to absorb it? You know, or are you only getting a little bit, and is it worth it? And that's where you can look at things like, if you're interested, you can go to PubMed, or you can go to the ISSN, International Society of Sports Nutrition, and look at their position statements on studies of what supplements, vitamins and minerals actually correlate to a viable effect in the body versus what doesn't. And this is constantly changing, because we're always studying and finding out new research. So just keep that in mind. But once again, takeaway is basics are the best. Keep it simple. If you do these recommendations and considerations, you're probably going to be on the better side of health. So I'm going to leave it there, guys. Just as a quick recap, we talked about fiber. We talked about the recommendations around that, 10 to 15 grams per 1,000 calories consumed. We talked about the types of fiber. We talked about FODMAPs. So again, those short chain carbohydrates that could affect the gut. So keeping, you know, aware of that. And again, if you're someone with gut troubles, you might want to experiment. Start off by removing things and reintroducing. We've talked about getting our fruits and vegetables in. So 3 to 5 servings of fruit and vegetables to get our vitamins and minerals alongside the macronutrients. We've talked about the 80-20 rule, you know, in terms of most of our food coming from whole foods, 20% having a bit of fun. We've talked about electrolytes and water and getting that in, especially for someone who's a high-performing athlete or sweating a lot and losing a lot of, you know, fluids throughout the day. And we talked a little bit about immunity at the end. So again, I'm going to put these key takeaways in the show notes for you, so you can sort of go over this and reiterate it. If you're enjoying these episodes, drop me a line. If you've got any questions, same thing. And if you found it helpful, remember, share this with someone else who can also benefit from it. You know, this is completely free. I've got nothing to sell anybody. And I'm just trying to get this information out there, because I wish I would have had access to this a little bit earlier, because it would have saved me a lot of time and frustration, and a lot of money too, investing in things that didn't work and just focusing again on the things that offer a return on investment. And again, if you start with the basic principles and you work your way up this hierarchy, you will avoid a lot of the nonsense, a lot of the fads, a lot of the money spins that are out there. And again, this is not my opinion. This is just factual science based on what we know and what we have known for a long time about the body and what it runs on. So this is why I'm doing it for all of you. So again, guys, thanks for tuning in. Share it, and we'll see you on that next episode. Stay fearless.
For those of you who are confused, frustrated, and sick and tired of not seeing the results that you want or deserve, make sure that you click the Apply for Coaching button in the description below and line up a completely free consultation with myself, where we can discover if it's a good fit as client and coach and take your health and physique to the next level once and for all.